chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass may have in the middle of it. Grass may have in the middle. We are grass may have.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness, we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to start off this hour with an interview by Francis Boyle with Alex Jones concerning the coronavirus, and this is earth-shattering. And then this second clip, this extended clip, will be with Mike Adams and Alex Jones furthering out, fleshing out a little bit more information on the coronavirus. We're going to concentrate this first hour on the coronavirus this weekend because it is all important. So here we go with this earth-shattering, breaking, terrible breaking news of how evil things can get. An interview with Alex and Francis Ball. Here we go now.
What happened here, Alex, is that the Wuhan scientists took the North Carolina SARS with gain of function, which is already a biological warfare weapon, and they took the technology here behind this well-developed SARS HIV weapon. And they all brought it back to the Wuhan BSL-4 and tried to DNA genetically engineer it into a chimera, into a biological warfare weapon involving the coronavirus, the HIV virus, and gain of function.
So it's all clear in the papers. They admit they did this. You've reverse engineered it, an incredible job. Do you think it was done on purpose then? Who stands to gain? Key Bono, as a law professor, who would do this? Who stands to gain? All right. I have not touched the coronavirus today because I was waiting for Professor Dr. Francis A. Boyle to come on, leading American expert in international law, responsible for drafting the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 89, was it adopted into world law, the American implementing legislation for the Biological Weapons Convention. He served on the board of directors of Amnesty International and represented Bosnia and Herzegovina in the World Court. He served as a legal advisor to Palestinian delegation of Middle East peace negotiations. 2007, he delivered the Bertrand Russell Peace Lectures. Professor Boyle teaches international law at the University of Illinois and is author of, and he goes through all of the different books he's written. He holds a doctor of law, magna cum laude, as well as a PhD in political science from Harvard University. His latest book is Poems Against the Empire, which is a collection of poetic reflections on his experiences fighting for peace, justice, human rights, international law, social welfare, and the United States Constitution. And he joins us now. I would call him a classical liberal. A liberal today, or a leftist, is a fascist. Just like a neocon is a fascist. And so the terms don't mean anything. And he's got big breaking exclusive news here, and he sent me notes, but I think the best way to do this is for at least the next three segments he pretty much hosts so that he can walk you through this. But this is serious news. This is very important news everybody should pay attention to. The Wuhan coronavirus came out of the biowarfare lab. That's even being said by the White House now. Dr. Boyle and others were saying it 3 weeks ago. The UNC lab should be shut down. Everyone investigated for violating Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act. He's got major studies that have just come out. So he's an expert on bioweapons and the law. So we've got 8 minutes to break here, then a 9 minute segment, a 10 minute segment. I'll take us into break, Dr. Boyle, but you go ahead and host. You've got the floor here. Thanks for joining us.
Well, Alex, thank you very much for having me on. My best to your viewing, audience. Yes, I sent your, assistant a email on Monday that I had revised my opinion on certain matters and also I had come up with what I concluded were the smoking guns that the Wuhan coronavirus came out of that BSL 4 facility. And you'll note now that Senator Cotton saying the same thing. He was behind me at Harvard Law School. And despite that, the New York Times slimed him. And as you know, Senator Cotton is a decorated combat veteran. No surprise there from the New York Times. So, yes, I have these scientific studies now. Basically, I read these things over the weekend, which is why I changed my mind and said I had new information and alerted your assistant on Monday. And today is the first day I could give you an extensive interview. I want to go through these scientific studies so that you and the viewing audience understand their implications. I believe they are the smoking gun of what happened here. The first is by some life scientists, three from Marseille, France, and one from Montreal, clinical research laboratories there. It was published on antiviral research 10 February 2020. Okay. And I had a chance to read it over the weekend. I read these types of things over the weekend. Now, I'm not going to go through this whole study, but they did a genetic analysis of the Wuhan coronavirus. And let me just conclude the critical part here where it says, quote, and may provide a gain of function to the 2019-nCoV for efficient spreading in the human population compared to other beta coronaviruses. Let me repeat that. Quote, may provide a gain of function to the 2019-nCoV now for efficient spreading in the human population compared to other coronaviruses. So, Alex, you recall in the first interview I gave to your colleague, Mr. Schroyer, and then the follow-up interviews I gave to you, I stated that this was clearly a gain of function, offensive biological warfare.
You said that 3 weeks ago, you said that 2 weeks ago, and now it's not just a big Indian institute. Now more live scientists have scanned it. They're saying exactly what you were saying.
Right. Well, this article here is the smoking gun, okay? It clearly...
And again, tell people again the article and how they find it.
Well, you can... I got it on Science Direct, Antiviral Research, 10 February 2020.
Antiviral research.
10 February 2020. And it's a long title, but it starts out, the spike glycoprotein of the new coronavirus contains a furin-like cleavage site absent in the COV of the same
place. So that's exactly what the prestigious Indian Institute said, is that it has the points where the artificial RNA was injected. I mean, they can see right where it happened.
Right. But this was a genetic, that, as you know, that was withdrawn under political pressure. But now we have four very distinguished life scientists here. Yeah, that's it right there. And the smoking gun here is on page 11 near the bottom, the last full paragraph from the bottom where it says may provide a gain of function to the coronavirus for efficient spreading in the human population.
So explain what that gain of function means, because not all of us are experts on this like you, Doctor.
Right. Well, gain of function. So let me repeat, Alex, as I told you before, gain of function technology is DNA genetic engineering of dangerous biological warfare substances to begin with.
It's like the scooping up of already bad pathogens.
Right. It's a turbocharging. And gain of function work can only be done safely in a BSL-4 or a BSL-3 facility. So I think clearly this is the smoking gun that the Wuhan coronavirus came out of that BSL-4 facility.
So does this mirror what the Indian Institute said, or is this different?
Well, I think it goes beyond what the Indian study said, but we'll get to that in a minute, the Indian study. Okay, so I think, you know, I've now, excuse me, provided the smoking gun here. This is clearly a weaponized biological warfare agent, and there is no legitimate scientific or medical use for gain-of-function technology, DNA technology on biowarfare agents.
So there's no excuse that it's a vaccine test that got out.
That's baloney. This is clearly an offensive biological warfare agent, and it has no legitimate medical or other purposes.
This is beyond sensational. Is that why we're seeing the very serious response to it?
Well, you know, Alex, we first discussed this over 3 weeks ago, and they're still attacking me for being a conspiracy theorist and fake news, and I'm a nutcase and a nut job and everything else. So there's been a massive fight back in the all the mainstream news media against this. And indeed, as I told you before, I've been completely censored out of all the mainstream news media here in the United States.
But everything you said has been confirmed, and now a major scientific group's come out and confirmed it. Let's get back to that smoking gun and recap that and get to all the other documentation straight ahead. Well, we have a leading expert in international law who's led major delegations for the U.S. government, expert in biological weapons, anti-terrorism, responsible for drafting the Biological Weapons and Terrorism Act that got adopted as world law, Dr. Francis Boyle here. And I'm reading the same studies he's reading. So more scientists come out and look at it and say this thing is man-made, and then they show how, and they say it's conclusive. You notice major Indian institutes came out and said the same thing 3 weeks ago. And so we're going to walk through more of these studies in this segment. Next segment, just as a father, as a citizen, as a human, as a citizen of the planet Earth, I'm going to ask Dr. Boyle what he really thinks the end game is here. Was this accidentally released as we were hoping, and that's bad enough, or is it something even more sinister? Are they using this as the excuse to invade Taiwan, as they're now doing? Dr. Boyle, please continue with the studies, the spike of, and then we have the whole breakdown here with the study.
All right. Well, now let me get to the second study, which is another smoking gun and a bombshell, Alex. There's no other word for it. You remember in our previous interview, you asked me if this had come out of the BSL-4 facility in Winnipeg, Canada, was stolen out of there. I said that could have happened. Winnipeg is our equivalent of Fort Detrick. They do every type of hideous, offensive, Nazi-type biological warfare work up there you can possibly imagine. But again, on the basis of materials, scientific materials I had a chance to read over the weekend, I have changed my opinion on that. I think I have the definitive evidence where this came from, and it came from the BSL-3 biowarfare lab at the University of North Carolina. Now, I have condemned them before because they have done gain-of-function work, DNA genetic engineering, on every hideous biological warfare agent you can imagine, including MERS at that time, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome agent, which, again, is a biowarfare coronavirus. Now, it just came to my attention.
Say that again, because we're going to pull this up as you speak. You said the other study, we pulled it up.
The study I condemned was their gain-of-function DNA genetic engineering on MERS, which is Middle East Respiratory System.
And that was the University of?
North Carolina. Right. They have a BSL-3 biowarfare lab there.
By the way, that's something I keep reading, that they do level four stuff at level threes, right?
I think they are, but they're doing it with the level three. The last I saw, that's all they had. But let me go through this study. It's entitled A SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronaviruses shows potential for human emergence.
So say it again, because we have radio listeners, hundreds of stations. A SARS-like cluster, the name of the paper, a SARS-like cluster.
A SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronaviruses shows potential for human emergence.
In other words, 2015, December 21st, we have it on screen.
That is correct. In NatMed, that's it. Now, if you look through this carefully, first notice who was involved in this DNA genetic engineering of SARS, which is already a biological warfare agent, to give it gain-of-function activities. And it has all these people there from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. It has someone from the Food and Drug Administration. So you can't trust the Food and Drug Administration. And then at the very bottom of the list, who is involved? Zhengli Li Shi, key laboratory of special pathogens and biosafety, Wuhan Institute of Virology, Chinese Academy of Sciences, Wuhan, China. So it's very clear to me that this scientist from the Wuhan Institute of Virology got this gain-of-function technology for SARS from this University of North Carolina lab. And he didn't steal it, or he or she didn't steal it. What happened was, if you read carefully to the end of the article acknowledgments, they acknowledge a National Natural Science Foundation of China award. So, in other words, the Chinese government paid them to have one of their top biological warfare experts involved in this type of...
By the way, Dr. Boyle, stay right there.
Sure.
I'm reading the paper. I mean, I know you had big news. You sent us links, but I'm just now reading it. And you talk about smoking gun. This is the Chinese government paying for the exact same thing with a U.S. lab. How did you discover this? This is smoking gun. How the hell did you find this?
Well, Alex, I told you that it's part of my professional responsibilities to stay on top of biological warfare. So I came across it and in my research. That's just part of the job I do.
Look, you're explaining it very well, sir, but just dumb it down. Our next guest is great, but we're going to move into tomorrow. This is too big. I know you've got time, so... Dumb it down for everybody. Why these two papers are so smoking gun? Because I'm sitting there, look at this. This is incredible. This is unbelievable.
I have more than that.
I know. Notice
they acknowledge National Natural Science Foundation of China award. So in other words, these death scientists at the University of North Carolina took dirty money from China to allow that one of their top biowarfare experts from this Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, which has the BSL-4 facility. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they permitted this Chinese scientist to work with them to give gain-of-function biowarfare DNA genetic capability to SARS, which is dangerous enough to begin with. And let me just go through some of the language here. It is truly a smoking gun. Clearly, that laboratory must be shut down immediately, and all those scientists investigated by the United States government for this and their responsibility here and for violating my Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989. But let me continue. This is what they said. We built a chimeric virus that encodes a novel zoonotic spike protein in the context of viable SARS. This approach characterized the threat posed by SARS coronavirus spike.
Dr. Boyle, stay there. We got to go to break. This is so bombshell. I'm reading the paper right here. They are admitting that they built the very virus that China paid the U.S. to build, and now it's been released. And why did they release it? So Xi Jinping could grab power and invade Taiwan. Wow. This is unbelievable. No matter what you've ever heard on this show, this is the craziest and the most documented. This is over the top, and we've caught them red-handed. Unbelievable. We'll be right back. Tell everybody you know, tune in right now. This is unbelievable.
Right. Well, to continue then, it says this approach characterized the threat posed by a spike in primary human airways. So, in other words, they're designing this to infect human beings by their airways, and then it says in vivo. So, in other words, they are using live animals.
Slow down and start over. Again, give them the paper's name again. This is so huge. They're making it to infect people. You're right. They should be arrested.
Of course. They should be prosecuted. No question at all about it. That's the, I think, the one you already had up there. But in any
case. I'm going to stop interrupting. Just recap what you just said. Walk through this again.
Right. We built a chimeric virus. So they joined these different biological warfare agents together into a chimera. As I told you, swine flu.
As you said 3 weeks ago, it's a chimera.
Chimera, right. And here they are doing it to have a, quote, spike in primary human airway cells in vivo. That's surrogates for us, okay?
Jesus.
Now, if you continue here, they took mice and they, with their technique here, found robust replication comparable to SARS.
Wonderful.
So they're using the gain of function technology.
They're testing it to make sure it spreads quickly.
That's right. And it's not just SARS, it's gain of function. Together the data confirmed the ability to infect human airway cells, et cetera. So they know exactly what they are doing here.
Just like Ford makes F-150 trucks, you just found who made this, and they're openly bragging about it.
Right. Let me continue. Together, the data indicate that viruses utilizing what they put together are capable of inducing considerable disease in mice in the context of basically SARS.
Wow. And again, SARS is the same coronavirus family.
Right. It's weaponized coronavirus. They also conclude that they really couldn't find an antibody against it.
Wow.
So it's extremely dangerous.
Total jerks.
So let me continue then with this.
I'm just starting to ask, you know, well, these people better be arrested really quick.
Right. Now, let me continue here where they say their new DNA genetically engineered virus constitutes a gain in pathogenesis. That's gain of function right there. They admit it. Pathogenesis means lethality and infectiousness. And we know that even Lancet has said lethality is about 15%. If you disaggregate numbers even put out by the Chinese government, it's about 17%. Together, these data represent a crossroads of gain-of-function research concerns. And they just make it clear they're going to continue anyway. They also point out that they involve HIV-based pseudovirus prepared as previously described.
Which is what the Indians found. Oh, my God.
That's why I was going to get to that. Yes. HIV is up in there.
This is ridiculous.
No. This is the type of Nazi biowarfare work these scientists do, Alex.
No, I agree, but they're publishing it. They're admitting they did it.
And let me continue, Alex. In a footnote, it says, cells were originally obtained from Fort Detrick. That's
So that means U.S. government biowarfare was running this.
They were involved in it, too. Yes.
Jesus. So let me ask you this. When you learned this weekend, what was it like? Was your heart beating faster?
No, I decided to notify your assistant there Monday morning. And then later that morning, CNN in India did an interview with me on this. But that was only for about 20 minutes. And then I had to go back to my teaching. But, you know, this is what I do professionally. And,
no, I know, but this is unbelievable. I'm reading the report right here from 5 years ago. They've been, obviously, I don't think the university knew that this would be used for this, but what did they think they were doing when they were giving a foreign authoritarian government a bioweapon? I mean.
Right. Well, it's all greed. They were paid for.
It's like you said. They just take the money, like you said 3 weeks ago.
From communist China and their top biowarfare expert.
Well, here's an example. I own 50 caliber rifles. If a known criminal came to me and said, I want to buy them, I'd say, hell no. You don't give criminals 50 caliber rifles. Well, a 50 caliber rifle is dangerous, but nothing compared to this. What the hell is going on? How are U.S. weapons research laboratories, under the guise of safety research, allowed to give the CHICOMs stuff like this? This is, you're right. I've been on there 25 years. I've never seen a scandal this big. This is, it's all right here. They admit it.
It's even worse than that, because all this work, this biological weapons work involving the Wuhan virology was approved and funded by the National Institutes of Health.
Wow.
Which I've discussed with you before, and the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. Okay. I told you before, these agencies were up to their eyeballs in research, development, and testing offensive biological warfare weapons.
Dr. Boyle, stay there. You're a great professor and amazing. When we come back, you've got to recap it all and boil it down for the average viewer. Because I'm smart. The viewers are smart. But I've been on there. I'm not just being dramatic. I've been on there 25 years. I've never been this shell-shocked. I'm reading these mainline reports. We pulled these up from you. This is it. This is the very virus 5 years ago, cooked up, sold to the Chinese government. I know you don't speculate, but when we come back, why is it out now? What's the end game? How bad is it going to get?
That interview could shake anyone up that we are consorting with, selling to the Chinese certain material that should have never left this country. So this must be investigated. This next clip is a furtherance of this discussion between Alex Jones and Mike Adams, and it is very, very insightful and eye-opening and very important. So listen carefully. Here we go now.
So the people at least risk, according to this chart, are, for example, white people living in Utah. And then the next least risk is Western Europeans, sort of white people from Europe. And then above that, a little higher risk are people of African descent. And a little bit higher risk is people of South Asia, such as India and the Middle East and so on. And then at the highest risk is Asian people, and the very highest is Japanese. So this tells you, every time, remember, you talk about Bill Gates and the vaccine agenda and the depopulation agenda. Who did they always target? They always targeted Africans, Indians, people from third world nations, and so on. And that's exactly what this virus
targets. Let's be clear. There's a giant history of secret testing against these particular groups. I mean, the Holy Grail is a race-specific bioweapon. To join us now for the next three segments is Mike Adams of naturalnews.com, who, along with Dr. Francis Boyle, the author of the U.S. Biological Weapons Law and World Treaty, has been at the very tip of the spear. Again, you revise your assessments as you learn more. We've never revised that it was man-made. We've never revised that it was released. But we've looked at, was it Canada where they were working on a weaponized version of it? Was it stolen by this Chinese operative who now died mysteriously? Well, it turns out, hiding in plain view, and we had Dr. Boyle on about this yesterday, lab-made coronavirus triggers debate. This is The Scientist, major journal, November 2015, pointing out that a U.S. university produced the exact virus a chimera that we're now dealing with. And that's why other groups, Indian research facilities and others, universities have come out and said this is edited. You can see where the gene editing happened. It's got the scars. It's got the points where it was put in. There's no debating it. And so it's here. And so you've had Senator Cotton saying stop the cover-up. You've got the White House saying they don't know if China's covering it up. It turns out in 2015, China bought this from a U.S. university. It's all right here. And we have reports of U.S. government put a stop to all funding. And you have watchdog groups in mainline news saying don't do this. So now, did the Chinese release it? Or, like mousepox, remember 20 years ago? Internationally, mousepox that will kill 98% of humans, the way it's engineered, if it gets out. Between 90 and 98%. Scientists ask, why is the code to this being given out on the internet? Because the globalists are hoping that it gets proliferated and a terrorist produces it, or they want plausible deniability. That's what's happened. What do you do when there's fingerprints on all this? Well, you hand it out. That's what you do. You hand it out so then no one knows where it came from. That's the only thing that this could be done for. So joining us is Mike Adams for the next 30 minutes or so. Mike, I appreciate your time. Looking at this, this is the smoking gun, as Dr. Boyle said. So we've been right about it man-made. We've been right about a cover-up. We've been right about China using it as a crackdown. The cases are exploding. People are dying on the cruise ships. Definitely deadly. Definitely very moving very fast. Spreads very easily. Very communicable. The pathogen. What is your best approximation now? Because we've been dead on with the knowledge we had. You know, looking at this university, looking at that university, but now we're honing in. What the hell's going on? I mean, give me your main approximation, your main analysis, then we'll walk through the nuts and bolts of it.
Well, for starters, we're all going to end up at risk and many of us killed by government incompetence when it comes to these ministries of health, such as Japan's Ministry of Health that allowed thousands of potentially infected people to walk off the Diamond Princess cruise ship right into Tokyo and fly to dozens of major cities all around the world with no protection whatsoever. The U.S. State Department, under objections from the CDC, just flew infected passengers back to the United States on a chartered jet where those infected passengers shared the same airplane with non-infected passengers. And we just found out today that 11 more are now infected. They're in Omaha, in the Nebraska hospital.
So that's like 12 monkeys,
there.
I mean, literally creating incubation yes. Petri dishes.
Yeah, basically they slapped some plastic with duct tape in a section of the airplane and then pretended that was a quarantine. Well, look, the air on the airplane is circulated across all the seats, all the passengers, just like on the cruise ship. They're sharing the same air. And yet you've got so much government incompetence at this point where you have the Surgeon General of the state of Florida still insisting that this isn't airborne and refusing to release any numbers of how many have been tested in Florida, saying that they can't release that information. It's insane.
Well, don't give it up to incompetence, Mike. We know that they refused to send out the scan of the virus weeks ago so people couldn't tell where it came from. There's clearly a cover-up going on.
Clearly a cover-up. And by the way, I had my staff meticulously transcribe your interview with Francis Boyle from yesterday or the day before. We've got the full text of that interview posted at Natural News right now, and everybody is free to copy and paste and share that full transcript. It's quite lengthy, but I've bolded the really important parts of that interview. I read through it twice. I listened to it. It was a bombshell interview. Most importantly, out of that interview, Francis Boyle is essentially accusing Dr. Fauci and the NIH of being war criminals engaged in biological weapons research against humanity. And that's right there in the interview. It's not me saying that. That's Francis Boyle warning about that. And as you know, he's called for the mass arrest of all these so-called scientists who are working on these biological weapons against humanity. And I have to concur with that. It's time to shut that down. And by the way, getting about censorship, the big tech censorship, it goes hand in hand with this, where those of us who are proven accurate, who are telling the truth, who are 1 to 2 weeks ahead of the mainstream media, we are being censored, even though we are the ones helping people get prepared.
Mike, you've been one month ahead. You've been 1 month ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah, this whole time. You know it. But see, by censoring us and then highlighting the fake news media, the big tech giants are making sure that the world is unprepared for this. People have
That's
a lackluster attitude.
That's why I'm concerned. Everybody can feel it. I feel a sucker punch here.
Well, look, I mean, this is going to get way worse because of the censorship. Right now, people all across America need to know that there are thousands of Americans who are under observation by state authorities. In the state of Washington alone, it's 779 people being observed by the state, basically being told, watch out for symptoms. But the state of Washington refuses to test more than 26 people. They've only tested 26 out of 779.
Because they want to keep the numbers down.
As of yesterday.
So give me your best approximation. Clearly, a lot of people are dying now. China covered it up. How bad, because your approximations have been dead on. You've got resources in China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and you're an engineer. You talk to a lot of medical folks. Well, what's the real numbers, the best approximation, dead reckoning?
Best guess right now in China, over 30,000 dead, over 300,000 infected, and probably hundreds dead outside of China, including the new deaths that have been reported in Iran, a new infection now confirmed in Lebanon. We've received rumors of over 20 deaths in a hospital that's got infections in Iran. Total cover-up there, of course. There are deaths in Japan, in Taiwan, in Singapore.
They're welding doors shut. They've got mass graves. They've got mass fires. They've got mobile cremation vans. All this confirmed.
And
you know,
Korea,
you've been a month ahead on
exploded.
Some things. You were like a week ahead on the cremation vans and the cremation vehicles. It's just crazy how you're reporting it, we're reporting it, and Zero Hedge is doing a great job. And then, like, we don't ever get celebrated. We get attacked because we told the truth. And by the way, animals are dropping dead everywhere all over China, and now we're learning Japan, South Korea. This could be the big one.
South Korea exploded overnight, literally doubling the number of infections in one day. It's now over 200 infections in Korea. We're seeing exponential growth outside of China, even as China is fudging the numbers and trying to pretend that there are fewer infections.
I mean, pneumonia doesn't
deaths.
Make you drop dead or have a heart attack or be having convulsions. What the hell is this? Because it's like they say in the papers, it's so many different viruses from different animals together, and it's mutating like a super weapon.
Yes. As Francis Boyle explained, this is a chimera from three different viruses. But look, the big news, and we got to get to this more after the coming break, but Dr. Anne Shucha from the CDC is now warning about a surge, warning all U.S. hospitals prepare for a surge in coronavirus patients in the United States of America. This is straight out of the CDC. It confirms what CDC Director Dr. Redfield said the other day, and Dr. Nancy Messonnier, also from the CDC, said, community outbreaks are coming in America. Hospitals had better get prepared.
And Mike, let's add this. We're about to go to break. We're about to start the second hour.
All right.
What happened 5 weeks ago before we were really even focused on this? You were starting to report on it. You and I both, we got sustained hack attacks, fake bankruptcies, filings, attempts to take down the site, stuff we've never seen before by shadowy groups ahead of this. They tried to take us out ahead of this, which tells you something big's coming. Make no mistake, we are making the plunge into destiny in 2020. The anti-human technocrats are moving on all fronts, but we're still on air thanks to you. We're still fighting together for a pro-human future. Here is the full transcript. It's on Infowars.com, and it's on NaturalNews.com. We'll also post it to NewsWars.com. That doesn't get censored as bad as NaturalNews.com or Infowars.com. Full transcript of Smoking Gun Bombshell Interview. Professor Francis Boyle exposes the bioweapons origins of the COVID-19 coronavirus. Absolutely amazing. So glad that Mike did that. That was a historic interview. We should try to get Dr. Boyle on the Sunday show if we can, or an emergency broadcast tomorrow. This is a short segment, long segment coming up, Mike. Some stations don't carry this for 5 minutes, so let's get to your big announcements next segment. But all this is important on why what Boyle talked about so big. He just went and did research. It's hiding in plain view, and the scientists and others 5 years ago saying, what the hell are major universities doing selling China this exact chimera? This is smoking gun. So then I asked the question, Mike, who's setting up who? Why did they do this? Now why do you think it popped out? What's behind this?
Well, first of all, it's clear that this was engineered as a weapon against humanity, as Professor Boyle said in the interview, and I verified, I purchased the full PDF of one of the papers that he was referring to, and sure enough, in that paper, it says that this is designed to enhance human-to-human transmission, to make it spread as quickly as possible. That's in the science paper. That's not even just a meta-analysis. That's in the paper. Furthermore, this class of beta coronaviruses has no lineage that links to this. In other words, it's not a random mutation found in nature. Anything that you find in nature has a hierarchy, kind of a viral family lineage, you know, like a family tree that you can trace the different
mutations. It doesn't have a history. It's
brand
new.
That. That's right. This is created, this is engineered, and still in the mainstream media, they're lying to us about it. Now, yes, it was probably engineered by a variety of scientists in a number of labs around the world.
So bottom line, we have a worldwide bioweapon engineered, genetically engineered outbreak right now.
That's right. Well, that's right. They're building weapons against humanity, and they got out. We don't know exactly how they got out. I think it was now released on purpose in China.
I was about to say, start over when we come back to some stations again. But obviously, Xi Jinping's in trouble. He's been embarrassed. He wants to go into Taiwan. This is perfect timing.
Well, yeah, and they know this tends to kill the elderly. And I've pointed out, globally, almost every nation, every government is bankrupt unless they can find a way to kill off a lot of the elderly citizens who are collecting entitlements. You know, I mean, the only way to make the U.S. government solvent is to, frankly, eliminate most of the elderly who are collecting Social Security.
Oh, this is definitely
Medicare,
it's what Bloomberg
Medicaid.
Says. He says to fix the Ponzi scheme because they inflated the money, kill old people. Bull BS, man.
Yeah, and again, a virus cannot be traced exactly back to who launched it.
Well,
or
that's why they handed it out. Clearly, why the hell would we sell this to China and others? That was under Obama because the globalists wanted to release this later.
Oh, and by the way, it is true. You asked me about this. Is it race specific? My initial answer was I didn't have information at that time. I've done additional research. It's absolutely, it has a higher propensity for infectiousness and mortality in Asian people. There's no question about that now because of the ACE2 inhibitor, and especially South Chinese Han people and Japanese people. In fact, it's the most infectious in Japanese people, which is...
All right, let's stay right there. I'm going to give you the form and come back. Race specific evidence. The fact they admit it's man-made. The fact that it was cooked up at a U.S. university, we'll go over it. The fact that it's been a big controversy 5 years ago that they made this thing. And then now Bill and Melinda Gates have patented something along these lines for the vaccine. What is the big plan? We are smart enough to counter it. We together can defeat it. When this was all launching 5 weeks ago, we've never seen hack attacks, denial of services, and dirty tricks like it. And everybody else I know got hit, not just Mike Adams or InfoWars. You know a war starts when the artillery opens up on your ass. Stay with us. I have been on air since 1995. That's 25 plus years. And I've never covered news this science fiction. But you know, it is the year 2020. We are in the future. We're here. Mike Adams, naturalnews.com, engineer, owns a major testing lab, has businesses in China, in Hong Kong, Taiwan. He's been the cutting edge, along with Dr. Francis Boyle, the author of the U.S. Biological Weapons Treaty and World Treaty. And it's all in mainline papers that 5 years ago, Obama allowed this to be sold to China, this very chimera virus. It was a big controversy. Lab-made coronavirus triggers debate, the scientists. You go into the actual papers, it's this. Major Indian universities come out and scan it. They go, yeah, you can see the marks where they cut in the HIV delivery system. You can see the other viruses. This thing doesn't have a pedigree. It's not like a German Shepherd or a Chihuahua. Oh, that's a Chihuahua. That's German. It's like a... It's a chimera, like the Greeks would say, part snake, part goat, part lion. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like a Porsche on the front of an F-150 pickup. It's just, you're like, what the hell is that? Well, now that's all confirmed. And you've got the federal government admitting that it's super contagious and spreading. You've got the fact that it is race-specific coming out, and now they say Japan's going to be the new epicenter. It's just racing through because they're from Chinese derivation, but even more, not in a mean thing, but more inbred, more less genetic code that's variant, the perfect target for race-specific bioweapons. And that's in the news now that it's racing through the Japanese. So, Mike, give us a synopsis on this right now, because this is just unbelievable.
Well, the term, what you're describing, the lack of genetic diversity, is called genetic homogeneity. Now, these delusional left-wing nutbags will think that I'm calling Chinese people homos when I say homogeneity, because they don't know what words mean and they don't understand anything about science. And by the way, let me just say I'm tired of this cult criminal Jack Dorsey leading this left-wing lunatic cult of censors and moderators who think they have a monopoly on the truth, and now they're going to have a social score that's run by these left-wing lunatics. They don't have a monopoly on facts. They are living in a delusional world of mental illness, okay? That's what they are, and Jack Dorsey should be arrested.
You're right. It's called homogeneous, which causes more disease because there's less genetic diversity.
Right, less genetic diversity. Exactly. Now, look. So America has a lot of genetic diversity because of our history. So we have, you know, many different people from many different countries of origin, different skin colors, different DNA background, and so on.
And we know that hybrid vigor in plants or in mammals is stronger.
Yes, yes. But the Chinese culture is very homogeneous in terms of its genetic code. And so if one person in China is susceptible to this, then they all are. And that's exactly where we stand right now. And it turns out if you look at the ACE2 inhibitors chart of how many receptor sites are typically found in the respiratory system.
Explain this. It's race specific. This is smoking gun right now. We need a drum roll here. Explain this.
So the people at least risk, according to this chart, are, for example, white people living in Utah. And then the next least risk is Western Europeans, sort of white people from Europe. And then above that, a little higher risk are people of African descent. And a little bit higher risk is people of South Asia, such as India and the Middle East and so on. And then at the highest risk is Asian people, and the very highest is Japanese. So this tells you, every time, remember, you talk about Bill Gates and the vaccine agenda and the depopulation agenda, who did they always target? They always targeted Africans, Indians, people from third world nations, and so on. And that's exactly what this virus
targets. Let's be clear, there's a giant history of secret testing against these particular groups. I mean, the Holy Grail is a race-specific bioweapon.
Yes, and look, Obama apologized for the NIH running government-funded medical experiments on prisoners in Guatemala, okay? So the United States has run medical experiments on black people, not just Tuskegee, but I'm talking about, Guatemala, prisoners, medical
Hillary
soldiers,
apologized for,
black
for Peru.
Yeah, exactly. Look, the history is well known. I'm sorry to be so kind of excited.
You should be. This is insane. This is insane.
It's totally insane. It's criminal. It's anti-humanitarian. And the United States has a history of doing this, and it continued under Obama. I don't know that Trump is fully aware of what's happening yet, but he needs to lock this down.
Oh, I don't think he is. But clearly, Xi Jinping bought it. He's using it. I had this weird feeling that was targeted at Japan like a week ago, and I knew that they came out of the Chinese. They're even more genetically non-diverse, and then now they say it's going to wreck Japan.
Oh, it's going to wreck Japan. Look, there was a doctor, Iwata, who came out in Japan. He was on the ship, the Diamond Princess. He walked off that ship, filmed a video, sounded the alarm, said, "It's insane. You've got people on that ship who don't know anything about infectious disease. They're wearing gloves and dealing with patients, and then with those gloves on, they're eating sandwiches for lunch." And yeah, the air's recirculated, but people were just walking across the containment zone versus the green zone versus the red zone. And he said the whole ship was run by incompetent bureaucrats.
And it turns out people are dying on the ship, and they just, oh my God.
It's insane.
So let's go back, though, to the genetic. I mean, they now know it's race specific. Explain the code that's in the virus.
Well, yeah, look, the code, the S proteins, the glycoprotein effects, all of this. What it means is that this was absolutely engineered, and it's going to be very, very hard to defeat. Because, you see, the world governments are attacking this as if it were SARS, which is a totally different beast. SARS isn't really infectious until you start to show symptoms.
This is a thing that's mutating.
This is a stealth virus. It was designed for stealth spread, which is why you're getting super spreaders in places like South Korea. One woman went to that church in South Korea. One woman has spread it to now over 100 people. And who knows how many of those 100 people are spreading it to tens or hundreds of
people. So who really
people.
Stands to gain from this, Mike? I mean,
the globalists stand to gain.
That was quite an interview there with Mike Adams and Alex Jones. And there is controversy out there as to the motive in the release, or I think Francis Barley earlier on during this hour said that he believed it was accidental. Now, Mike Adams and Alex Jones seem to think that there was a concerted effort to use this as a vehicle for a reduction of world population and establishment of world government. But anyway, coming up next, we have Diana West. She's the author of The Red Thread, and she talks about the infiltration of our government by socialist communists during the Obama administration. She has some very good things to say. So here we go with Diana West.
They are not there upholding their constitutional oaths, and in fact, they are trashing them. And when you actually look at some of the very cold, I would say Marxist beliefs behind these people that seem to animate them, they are deceiving us as to who they really are, and they are trying to enact their own visions of what the polity should be, irrespective of these oaths and irrespective of the people's will.
Is it possible that communist ideology has infiltrated America's intelligence agencies? After looking into key figures involved in the Spygate scandal, what information did Diana West uncover about their beliefs? And how is Donald Trump a counter-revolutionary president in West's view? This is American Thought Leaders, and I'm Yanya Kelek. In this episode, we'll sit down with Diana West, a journalist and author of The Red Thread, a search for ideological drivers inside the anti-Trump conspiracy.
Diana West, wonderful to have you on American Thought Leaders.
Oh, wonderful to be here, Jan.
What motivated you to try to find this sort of common ideological thread? How did this happen?
Well, that's a really good question, because there was one thing, and it had to do with looking at the behaviors, the actions we were starting to learn about, say, a couple of years ago, on the part of these senior officials in Washington, that certainly, it may be argued, some of them are seditious. I mean, really serious actions against the rule of law in their efforts to take down this presidency, the campaign, undermine the transition, and it's just gone on and on. And I was just trying to get a sense of why they were so angry, why they were taking these resorting to these measures when America is known for the peaceful transition of power.
Right.
And normally, when one party goes out of power, the other party comes in, and the one that's out of power starts building their campaign for next time, and the power will change every 2 to 4 years, 6 years, 8 years at the most. But the pendulum swings,
right,
and normally these kinds of people will just wait till next time. And so we didn't see that. We saw all kinds of plotting going on that we were learning about, all kinds of just absolutely terrifying uses of our security agencies, the FBI, the CIA, and so on. So I'd wondered, who are these people? Why are they doing this? Why are they risking everything? Because, of course, if they are caught, and, you know, this is still an open question.
Yes.
If they are caught, they can lose everything, including their freedom, including certainly their pensions, including their reputation. So what was driving them? This was not normal American behavior. And this becomes a very difficult question to answer when you're looking at career public officials, people who have tremendous resumes. They head the FBI, they head the CIA, they work in the Justice Department. You really can't get very far outside of their public persona. In 2017, it was actually December, we had a real break in the whole story, and that was by James Rosen, who was then with Fox News, and he wrote about this very interesting couple, Bruce and Nellie Orr. Bruce Orr being the high-ranking Justice Department official who was a liaison between Christopher Steele and the justice world, as we learned. And his wife, Nellie, who worked for Glenn Simpson at Fusion GPS, the shop that created the Steele dossier. Well, Nellie, it turned out, had been an academic. She was a professor in the 1990s, and that meant that there were going to be writings, publicly available writings, book reviews, for example, a PhD thesis, and so on, that I could at least look at to try to get a better sense of who she is. And indeed, it turns out she is a Russia expert. She speaks the language. She taught the subject. She got a PhD in it, in history, at Stanford and after Harvard. And she studied in the Soviet Union, when it was still the Soviet Union. And I ended up putting together in The Red Thread kind of an ideological profile of Nellie Orr. She's my first case, in which I did learn that she had a very soft spot, believe it or not, for the regime of Joseph Stalin.
Fascinating.
Terrifying. But it is something where she talked about kind of on the one hand and on the other hand. In other words, she would talk about the terror. This is a quote: the terror and excitement of the Stalin era. She was talking about the frustration in a book review of trying to teach about this era to her students at Vassar.
Okay.
In the 1990s. Terror, I can understand. Excitement. So you look a little further and you find that she similarly applauded Stalin for trying to build a legal structure. This is what she called the agonizing paradox of Stalin's era. Trying to build a legal structure on the one hand and yet executing innocent civilians on the other hand. I mean, this is the kind of attitude. It's kind of a moral equivalent attitude, really,
right,
when you're looking at this bloodthirsty regime that killed millions and millions of people. The legal structure was a sham if you're executing innocent,
sure,
civilians, of course, but this was very clearly a theme of her writings, and indeed including in her PhD thesis. And I learned that she followed a school of history in American academia known as revisionism. It is a revisionism. There have been a number, but
okay,
it was one that came about in the 60s and 70s that was essentially promoted by straight-up Marxists and the New Left, what we used to call the New Left in this country, which really wasn't much different from the Old Left. It was usually their children. But they took over, really, the departments on the college campuses. And they are a school that writes about itself and has its stars and so on. And she very clearly followed in this school. Those people are the people she thanks, who are essentially her mentors, people she studied at Harvard and so on. So it became pretty clear that there was a red thread, if you will, here in terms of a openness to communist ideology as it was put into practice.
And a willingness
in the Soviet
to
Union.
See someone like Stalin, who we know his history, you know,
right,
extremely well,
right,
in this sort of positive, apologetic light.
Yes, yeah. Shocking.
Yeah,
absolutely shocking.
I mean,
so she was sort of case number one, and mm-hmm, you know, it goes on from there, but that kind of gives you a flavor of what I was finding with Nellie Orr. It always intrigued me. She does have a CIA credential. She worked for their open source shop. So we know she had a CIA connection. Interesting. We also know that she took out a ham radio operator's license in the spring of 2016.
Oh, right. So you're thinking, who's she talking to?
Who's she talking to?
Yeah.
We don't know the answers to these questions, but right, she becomes a very interesting figure and very important in this entire
extremely movement. For multiple reasons, right? I mean, if you believe Lee Smith, you know, she's very instrumental, actually,
yes,
in the creation of the Steele dossier in the first place. And now that we have, you know, the IG report that has come out fairly recently, it's,
yes,
auspicious that we're having this,
yes,
interview. Actually, so we know a lot more about how, let's say, wrong or false the Steele dossier was through,
right,
and through.
Right, garbage. Right,
right, right, right. That's
right.
That's a good word, right?
It's been used.
So yeah, you also looked at Christopher Steele,
yes,
in the book.
Yes.
So what did you find? I mean,
well,
I know a little bit, but tell me.
Yes. Well, he seemed like the next person to try to crack a little bit, mm-hmm, into the shell of, because essentially if she had a little CIA connection, which has not really been fully disclosed, in other words, we don't really know if she knows John Brennan from her past or what have you, another person in this group, Christopher Steele, as a former intelligence officer for the British, is almost her opposite number at Fusion GPS, and it's his name obviously on the dossier, and there's very little about him as an intelligence officer, given that is not a very public
yes,
profession.
Yes, of course.
But when he burst on the scene, the British press were looking at him. And one of the things, first things came out, he was a very prominent student at Cambridge in the 1980s, around the same age as Nellie Orr, also graduated in the 1980s. And Christopher Steele was the head of the very storied Cambridge Debating Society, the Cambridge Union. I believe at the same time, the new Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, was the head of the Oxford Union.
Okay.
So you see the kind of people these are. And when Christopher Steele was this prominent Cambridge student, he was known, and this is in a history of the Cambridge Union, he was known as a confirmed socialist.
Wow.